Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
Revelation chapter 17. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. But the angel said to me, Why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell in the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen. One is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth, and is of the seven, and is going to perdition. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings, who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with a beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. Then he said to me, The waters which you saw, where the harlot sits, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And the ten horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind, and to give their kingdom to the beast, until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth.
Life was filled with guns and war, and everyone got trampled on the floor. Wish we'd all been ready. Children died, the days grew cold. A piece of bread could buy a bag of gold. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. A man in white half asleep in bed. She hears a noise and turns her head. He's gone. I wish we'd all been ready. Two men walking up a hill. One disappears and one's left standing still. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind.
Lesson 255, Babylon the Harlot. In our last lesson, we saw the seven bowl judgments which completed God's outpouring of wrath upon the earth during the tribulation period. In today's lesson, we read of the city of Babylon, which is described as a harlot seated on a beast. We shall learn that this city represents a corrupt religious and commercial system which God will judge during the tribulation days. It seems evident that this corrupt system is an apostate church that turns Christianity into a big money-making business. The next chapter will show us the commercial corruptions of Babylon. In today's chapter, we see a vivid description of Babylon. One of the angels who had poured out the bowl judgments on the earth talked with John and asked him to come and look at the judgment of the great harlot who sits upon many waters. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and all that dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. The angel carried John in the spirit into the wilderness. There John saw a woman sitting on a beast full of blasphemous names, and with seven heads and ten horns. All this is very symbolic language, which John will help us understand after he finishes describing the harlot. He also says, "She is clothed in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold, precious stones, and pearls. In her hand was a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornications. On her forehead was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and the abomination of the earth." John saw the woman drunk from the blood of the saints and the martyrs of Jesus. When John saw this sight, he marveled with great amazement. Many books have been written about this harlot woman, and people have different views on who and what she represents, but all have a similar thread of understanding. The description provided here and what follows will be enough for us to conclude that Babylon is a city in the sense of it being a center of religious domination and commercial enterprise. It may have a particular city in view, and many have pointed out the similarities in description to the city of Rome, which is situated on seven hills, and the vast wealth of the Roman Catholic Church. There is no doubting that the Roman Catholic Church has a vast amount of wealth and influence in almost every nation upon the earth. It is also clear that the Roman Church has shed the blood of many martyrs of the Christian faith. Perhaps what is in view, however, is not the spiritual corruption that exists in the largest Christian denomination in the world, but spiritual corruption spreads across all denominations, for we know that Christendom is full of false prophets and money-grabbing pastors. The combined total of all apostate Christianity is likely what is in view, and what is here called Babylon the Great Harlot. She is a harlot in the sense that she uses seduction to draw people to herself, only to take their riches from them. So much of religion today does precisely this. They draw many people in, they take their money, often pleading endlessly for more offerings. This has built up some churches and pastors to great wealth and power. The angel asked John why he marveled. We might suppose that John, as most of us, would be surprised to see the corruptions within the church when they give the appearance of being humble and faithful servants of Christ. The image of this harlot seated on the blasphemous beast was far removed from what John would expect as coming from the Christian church. Now the angel proceeds to describe and explain the vision of the harlot on the beast. He says that the beast was and is not and will come out of the bottomless pit and then to perdition, or eternal judgment in the flames of the lake of fire. The unbelievers who are not written in the book of life will marvel when they see this beast. The angel says, "The mind of wisdom will understand that the seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits." This will teach us that the language is symbolic and that We need to try and sort out what each aspect of the vision could represent. The saying that here is the mind which has wisdom, followed by giving clarity on the seven heads actually representing seven mountains, invites us to apply our minds to understand this image and what it represents. In understanding the symbolism, there is wisdom. The wisdom is not simply being smart enough to figure out what the symbol represents, but living in the light of that revelation. Since we understand that Rome is situated on seven hills, we might gather from this text that the harlot city is the city of Rome, or the religious system that is centered in Rome. The angel further explains that there are seven kings, and five of them have fallen. One is, and the other has not yet come. This final king will only reign a short time, and the beast is said to be the eighth, belonging to the same as the previous kings, and is destined for perdition. If the corrupt Roman church is in view, it means that they will have seven dynasties prior to the beast reigning over their church. This could mean that the beast is actually the head of the church, and that is something that is hard to imagine, but seems to be possibly implied in this context. 10 horns of the beast represent 10 kings who will be given authority for a short time along with the beast. These kings agree to give authority to the beast, and they make war with the Lamb, that is, Jesus. However, the Lamb shall defeat them, since he reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and those who follow him are called chosen and faithful. The angel explains that the waters upon which the harlot sits represent all the peoples and nations. This reveals her dominion as a world power. The 10 horns are said to hate the harlot, and will make her desolate, naked, and eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. She was useful in attaining power for the beast to rule over man, but once the power has been established, he will destroy the evil religious system. This is so clearly the deceptive work of Satan. We see this practice frequently in politics, where men will pose to be some kind of great leader and hero, only to prove to be completely opposite to what they said and promised. The destruction of the great harlot is according to God's purpose, for he has put it into their hearts to destroy her. They are united in giving over power and authority to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. Finally, the angel explains that the woman or harlot is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. This again points us to the very powerful and influential Church of Rome, which affects governments and leaders around the globe through their power and money. Reading of this apostate church should cause us to question our allegiances and whether the church we belong to is actually part of this evil system which God will judge. Be sure to follow what God says in His Word and not the practices of the church which are not found in the Bible. The most important thing is to be sure you are trusting in Jesus for the salvation of your soul. Then the Holy Spirit can guide you to a faithful church and help you grow. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. Revelation chapter 17, verse 14.
Life was filled with guns and war, and everyone got trampled on the floor. I wish we had all been made. Children died. Days grew cold, a piece of bread could buy a bag of gold. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. How could you have been so blind? The Father spoke, the demons died. The Son has come, and you've been left behind.
And now for today's Bible question. In today's lesson, we learned about the great harlot Babylon, which appears to be a corrupt and apostate Christian church that will be judged and destroyed during the tribulation. Someone might ask the question, why does Revelation make so much use of symbols? In our lesson today, John described his vision of a woman riding a beast, which had 7 heads and 10 horns. It is even hard to picture such a beast. As we read through this chapter, the angel speaking with John provides him some explanations of what various aspects of this vision symbolize. For instance, he will reveal that, 1, the woman, or harlot, is that great city called Babylon, which reigns over the kings of the earth. Likely, this points to the corrupt Christian church of the tribulation period that is centered in Rome, having great riches and power. 2, the beast is from the bottomless pit, takes rule over Babylon along with 10 kings, only to destroy the very system that gave him his authority and power. The beast is clearly empowered by Satan and will be a prominent world leader, controlling both religion and commerce during the tribulation period. 3, the 7 heads. These represent 7 mountains. This seems to point to the city of Rome, or the religious system, which is centered in Rome. 4, the 10 horns represent 10 kings, and these have authority with the beast and also give him his power and authority. This shows us that the system is a self-appointed, man-made system of rule to govern the people of the earth and command power while extracting their riches. 5, the waters upon which the woman sits represent the people and nations of the world. 6, the golden cup full of abominations represents the blood of Christian martyrs which the harlot drinks. In other words, she is persecuting God's true church, indulging her satanic power by oppressing them. 7, the gold, precious stones, and pearls represent the great material wealth of Babylon. As we try to sort through the many symbols of the book of Revelation, it is only fair to ask why the writer was led to employ so much symbolism. We had a hint at this answer in today's lesson when the angel told John that the mind of wisdom will understand that the 7 heads represented 7 mountains. We learned that this was designed to help us investigate the symbols so that we can prove to be wise. But is God simply trying to hide important information through symbols and insinuations? The answer may not be easy for us to discern, but let us think about some facts that might help us. Jesus taught in parables so that those who earnestly sought truth could find it, but those who were self-righteous would stumble through their pride by not humbling themselves to learn. Even Nicodemus, a teacher in Israel, was confused by Jesus' teaching on the new birth. Jesus thereby judged the proud-hearted Pharisees by teaching in parables. The teaching did accomplish God's purpose in helping the simple and sincere find spiritual truth and spiritual riches, but condemned those who thought they knew better. This could be the same reason why Revelation leans heavily on symbolism. Another possibility is that the prophecy is to be sealed up to the end time. This is what happened with Daniel's prophecy when God said he would seal it up until the end time. The prophecy was not intended for Daniel to understand, but for a later generation. Perhaps while Revelation has some relevance to our lives today, it will prove much more significant and relevant during the tribulation when all these things begin to take place. When Jesus appeared 2,000 years ago, many of the prophecies about him were not immediately understood, but later, after the Spirit of God came upon the church, those scriptures began to all come together to testify to the truth of Christ's life, death, burial, and resurrection. Remember, Paul, who was well-schooled in the Old Testament, was fighting against the Christian church. Later, when he was arrested by the Lord on the road to Damascus and was converted, and then filled with the Spirit, began to preach the resurrection of Jesus from the same scriptures he knew so well. Symbolism is not intended to frustrate us or cause the truth to elude us. It is an invitation to think, study, consider, and search for truth as a gold miner looks for gold, digging and digging. Truth is much more appreciated when it is revealed to the diligent and spirit-guided believer. When we struggle to find the truth, we will value it and live by the truth all the more than if we had had it given to us with no personal effort to attain it. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 4.
See?
Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948, or if you have access to the Internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student. Jesus, if you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans 10:9 it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians 2:8-9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any one should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.